You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
This is an ugly, ugly week for some teams coming up, and it could be a beautiful week for some teams that you wouldn't necessarily expect it to be. It's Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also on SiriusXM Channel 80. And do not forget to be a part of the ESPN Radio Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, ESPN Nation, presented by Dr. Pepper. College football is back, and so are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. My friends, week two is just such an incredibly, incredibly vital week for so many in the National Football League. And you say, that's absolutely absurd. Is it? I don't know that it is, because when I turn and look at the records of teams that have started 0-2 since just 2007, let's say, for the last 14, 15 years, the numbers, they're not good. So look at the 0-2 teams that have huge games, or 0-1 teams that have huge games this week, and it's staggering how many must-win situations there are this early in the year. To be exact, since 2007, 107 NFL teams have started the season 0-2. 12 have made the playoffs. That's 11%. I'm not a math guy, really, but that percentage, not good. It's not good. And think about this. Last year, even with an additional playoff team in the picture in each conference, not one team that started 0-2 last year made the postseason. And that leads us to some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. That's why you can't afford to start this way. And it all begins on Thursday night with both the Giants and the Washington football team. Now, let's be fair. This NFC East could end up being a division that you win. I mean, with the extra game, 7-8? Could it be 7? Could a 7-10 team actually win a division? I don't think so. But I think an 8-9 team is going to win a division. So if you're Washington or you're the Giants and you are coming off the games that you are, Washington playing well against the Chargers, but unable to get over the hump, and they've got their backup quarterback in there for the foreseeable future. Ryan Fitzpatrick's all over these giant water slides, apparently getting hurt, according to callers in Washington, D.C., that the initial hip injury didn't happen in the game, but in Leesburg, Virginia last week as he's going down a steep slide. The Giants can't get out of their own way offensively, not turning the football over with the quarterback and having the football deep in enemy territory and coming away with points, not one, not two, not three, but four times in week one. Four times in week one. Neither of these teams, even though it's going to be a bad division winner, can really afford to fall to 0-2 on the year, because if you're going to be playing 500 football and contending for the division, you can't slip into any kind of hole to begin with. Can you imagine the fact that we're talking about the Buffalo Bills potentially starting the season 0-2? Now, I go back to an adage that our friend Bart Scott has always held. If you are a bettor, this should be a hard and fast rule. Bet on the Miami Dolphins at home in a 1 o'clock game. Why? Because South Beach is undefeated, and players still find a way to go out in South Beach the night before. Now, granted, the Buffalo Bills are trying to put together a special season, and they're a better football team than the Miami Dolphins. But this is not an easy situation. The Dolphins just go on the road and edged out the New England Patriots and made plays when they needed to. We could talk about Damian Harris fumbling, but the ball had to be stripped too, didn't it? The ball was stripped. They did a nice job enforcing a turnover in a crucial situation and making a play. in a crucial situation. Tua doesn't look like he's awful, does he? He doesn't. He looks like he's okay. He looks like he's serviceable. He may not be a superstar, but he's more accurate than we give him credit for. Meanwhile, the Bills have to be, I don't want to say looking themselves in the mirror, but a little bewildered with what happened in week one. No? I mean, you're home for the Pittsburgh Steelers. You're controlling the football game through the first 2.5, 3 quarters, and then it gets away from you and you have things like a blocked punt happen. These are things, that is the easy parts of football. Special teams are supposed to be buttoned up. And when you have a massive special teams play like that happen against you, the odds are in the favor of your opponent. So the Bills in the AFC East cannot afford to fall to 0-2 and actually see Miami go to 2-0. You're already 2 games back, and you've already lost one of those games in what could potentially be a tiebreaker later in the year. Is it really possible that the Cleveland Browns are in danger of going 0-2 when they host a Houston Texans this week? Now, let's preface this by saying the following. The Houston Texans remind me of the Carolina Panthers team that went 1-15, and everybody expected that they were going to be terrible all season long, but they won their first game of the year and then lost 15 straight. That's what the Texans remind me of. I don't think that we are going to come out of this and all of a sudden you've got the no-name defense and you've got an unbelievable story later in the season about a team that is doing it with Tyrod Taylor at quarterback and all the stupid drama that was caused by all the allegations that are levied against Deshaun Watson and the self-inflicted drama, I should say, of Deshaun Watson, of putting himself in these stupid situations and not acting accordingly, just not being terribly bright in handling himself. And then there's the Cleveland Browns, who, despite the fact that they lost the game the way they did, as crushing as it was, maybe feeling a little bit better about themselves. There is a difference in the way you look at the Cleveland Browns than the way that you look at what happened with the Cowboys last week. The Cowboys should have won that game. You can't tell me that you can say definitively the Browns should have won the game on the road against the Kansas City Chiefs. It's a horrible, stupid mistake by a punter to drop a football. It's not the only reason they lost the game. Houston can at least throw a little fear of God into the Browns. Let me just paint a scenario for you real quick. Halftime, 14-9 Houston. You think there aren't some keisters that are going to be getting a little tight in that Browns locker room? Huh? Of course they will. Because they could be staring 0-2 in the face. And I don't know if you know this, but Cleveland can be a little unforgiving. So, yeah, this is a dicey little situation. How about Indianapolis and the Rams? I have not liked the Colts from the get-go here. I have not liked the idea of Carson Wentz reclaiming himself with Frank Reich. He very well may do this, but did you see the Rams absolutely run through at home this past Sunday night against the Bears? They ran through them like they were nothing. The Bears were supposed to have a pretty good defense. It is a rough start for the Colts to get the Seahawks and then the Rams to begin the season, but there's no reason to think that they could not be staring at 0-2. In fact, the Colts, I'm very confident in saying, will be staring at 0-2. What about the Minnesota Vikings? I thoroughly believe they will be staring at 0-2. Going to Arizona. Am I all in on the Cardinals? Not quite yet. But I'm very high off of what I saw the other day. One game, yes, but it was a beatdown. From pillar to post, my friends. I'm not the only one concerned about the Minnesota Vikings where they are Anthony Barr may not play this week. Who knows if he's going to be able to return? Very wishy-washy, as you would expect from Mike Zimmer, on whether or not he's going to be able to practice. You know who else doesn't necessarily believe in the Vikings? Keyshawn Johnson from Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Here he is.
I focused in on the Minnesota Vikings. I think when you look at ever since the Minnesota Miracle, they've kind of just been there. Not there to a point where when you walk into that building, you are afraid of them. They haven't crossed it. Kirk Cousins gotten extensions. Mike Zimmer's gotten extensions. They've transformed the secondary multiple times now. It's that time for them to take the next step.
And I don't know that you can say that it's going to happen. It's very easily possible that Minnesota could go to Arizona and lose that football game. It's also easily possible that the Dallas Cowboys could lose on the road at the Chargers. Now, this is a game based on how they played week one, even though everybody who has spoken has said we will be better for having lost this game. I'm not that sold on that quite yet. Dak was amazing. But the Chargers are a different team with Derwin James. They only give up 16 points the other day. Granted, Fitzpatrick was out early. Antonio Gibson fumbles the football. All true scenarios. But the Cowboys, to me, are really up against it. This is one that they have to have. Again, in a terrible division, but you can't afford to let yourself get separated too far in the NFC East. Tennessee Titans go to Seattle. This is not what you want to be staring in the face after you just got your tail kicked up and down the field by the Arizona Cardinals. You're going to go up, you're going to deal with the 12th man, and it's not going to be easy. And there wasn't a whole lot about the Titans to feel good about. Maybe they're able to run the football and control the ball a lot better than they did against the Cardinals the other day. But you know what Seattle's going to do? Chuck it all over the lot. I don't know if you saw the Tennessee secondary. Not good. Not good. Seattle can put up points against Tennessee. Look out, Jack. This could be bad. This could be really bad. And then finally, the team in the most danger of going 0-2, the team that has had the worst month of anybody, the Baltimore Ravens. Home for the Kansas City Chiefs. When we saw this on the schedule, you're licking your chops. You're as excited as could be. But now you're worried because the Baltimore Ravens, with all of the injuries of the last few weeks, getting into this position with Kansas City, that's why week one was such an imperative, imperative game for them. Again, 12 teams. Of the last 107 that have started the season 0-2 have made the playoffs. That's just a shade over 11%. That's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. But what about the flip side? What about surprising 2-0 possibilities? Think about this. Talk about separating yourself a little bit. It's not a lock at 2-0 that you're going to make the postseason, but it's better than 50-50. Same stretch of time, 2007, last 14, 15 years. 72 teams out of 120 have made the playoffs. That's 60%. You sign up for those odds? You probably would, especially if you're the Cincinnati Bengals. Going to Chicago. Is there any reason not to believe the Bengals can go to 2-0? Are they for real yet? I don't know that we can get to that point quite at this moment yet. But you at least have to acknowledge that for them to come back and win that game against the Vikings after they blew that lead, that was impressive. How about Miami on the flip side going to 2-0 if they should somehow beat the Buffalo Bills? It puts the Dolphins in an amazing spot. Can you think about that for a second? Who else is really going to challenge you? You know the Jets aren't going to challenge you. New England potentially could. You only beat them by a point. But again, you could get out to 2-0 with a tiebreaker against each of those two teams. I mean, you talk about things not playing out any better for a football team, and you're at home with the Bills. Again, Bart Scott, always bet on the Dolphins on the 1 o'clock game at home because South Beach is undefeated. Philadelphia, how are the Eagles potentially going to go to 2-0? Look, you can look at them and say they punched up and they beat the daylights out of a bad football team. And they did. The Atlanta Falcons are bad. You know who's good? Jalen Hurts. Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL insider. He acknowledges, yeah, he did impress some people in that audition to be the Eagles' long-term solution at quarterback.
Jalen Hurts this year is on a mission to convince the Philadelphia Eagles that they don't need to go make a big trade for someone like Deshaun Watson or Aaron Rodgers or someone like that next offseason. This is his audition, and coming right out of the gate, he hit a big one. I mean, this was a guy saying, look, don't overlook me. I can be your answer at quarterback. Long way to go in the season, but great start for Jalen Hurts.
Absolutely fantastic, and Jalen Hurts can play football. I've been telling you this for weeks. Jalen Hurts will be the long-term solution for the Philadelphia Eagles, and he's going to be an exciting one. Running around on the field, he had 62 yards rushing. Don't forget about that last week. If the Eagles could get to 2-0, it'd be amazing. I'm not counting on it, even though we found out Raheem Mostert is out for the year. The Vegas Raiders going to Pittsburgh. Derek Carr? Is that possible? Well, the Raiders have gotten banged up on their offensive line. It'd be a really, really great story if the Raiders find their way to 2-0 this year. I don't expect that to happen. Because Pittsburgh, as we know, is a difficult place to play, but it's a little bit overrated as a home field advantage, to be truthful. And what has always gotten lost in Pittsburgh is the fact that their stadium, Heinz Field, is so open air right on the water that the sound does not keep in nearly as much as it used to at Three Rivers Stadium. It used to be a much more difficult place to play. No more. It's not. I don't expect Derek Carr to have the same kind of game, but I think he's going to have a pretty good game. He's going to give him a chance to win. That game will be within a touchdown. New Orleans at Carolina. Again, golden opportunity to go 2-0 to hold an early tiebreaker against Carolina. Not that that's going to be an issue because we expect Tampa to continue to roll. But the Saints getting out to a 2-0 start and Jameis Winston continuing to play well, boy, that's exceptionally important. Denver and Jacksonville. Can you imagine if Teddy Bridgewater does end up being the solution at quarterback this year for the Denver Broncos? It doesn't mean they're not going to be looking long-term at somebody else and even potentially trading for Aaron Rodgers. But Teddy Bridgewater, we saw this past week against what's supposed to be a pretty good defense, is capable. He is capable. And for all those with Jacksonville who think that Urban Meyer, who denied the rumors today about going to USC, falling to 0-2, you think he's going to lose his mind? Guys, you got to relax. He's not getting fired, and he is not quitting that job anytime soon. Don't try to compare him to Nick Saban. This is a different dude. He is not going to quit on the Jacksonville Jaguars because it's been a bumpy start. The Arizona Cardinals can go to 2-0. How great of a story would that be? Think about this for a second. If Arizona goes to 2-0, how real of a possibility does four playoff teams in the NFC West become? Think about that for a second. You could have three wild card teams from one division. There's no reason to think that's not possible. And Arizona at home for Minnesota, as we took you through, definitely possible. And the Chargers, there's not much not to like here. They are a diverse team when they need to be offensively, in that Eckler, in the short passing game, in addition to the run game, kind of extends what that run game is. And they have weapons, and they are better defensively. Again, getting out to a 2-0 start positions them well for the playoffs. They're not winning the division, but it positions them well for the playoffs. And as we told you before, it's 60% of the teams that have started 2-0 since 2007 have made the playoffs. And think about this as well. Last year, 9 of 11 teams. Is it 9 of 11? No, I think it's even more than that. It's 12 of 14 teams. No, 9 of 11 teams that started 2-0. My math is all over the map. They made the playoffs last season. Only two teams who started 2-0 didn't make the playoffs, my friends. Think about all that. And this weekend, all of a sudden, you got a spicy meatball. That's right. You got some teams that are in some early trouble. ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. You can save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit Progressive.com. Up next, has an MVP thrown in the towel already? We'll get to that in just moments in your calls. Your team on potentially going to 2-0 or 0-2. Is the season over if your team goes to 0-2? In several cases, that answer is yes. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. It's great to see teams back out on the gridiron. Lucky for us, that was only week one. DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL, is putting you in the center of the action for week two. New customers can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit by signing up using promo code PLAY. Get in on the action now. It's simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, see how your team stacks up against the competition. Feel the NFL action like never before with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Download the DraftKings app now. Use code PLAY. This week, new customers can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Enter code PLAY to get a free shot at millions in total prizes with your first deposit. That's code PLAY. Only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Did the MVP quit? We'll talk about it next. Chris Carlin, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
From the biggest names in sports,
Justin Herbert, ladies and gentlemen,
to the stories that matter.
The New England Patriots want to play that way. They want to protect
and
the
plenty of opinions.
It's simple. Justin Fields is better, but I'm willing to.
And it starts every morning with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max right here on ESPN Radio. Or just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio. This is ESPN Radio.
The Saints, they ran the ball 39 times.
The Saints, the way they controlled the line of scrimmage was a huge factor.
You didn't have Jameis Winston throwing the ball all over the place, and he had 5 touchdowns.
5!
They literally ran the ball right down the Packers' throats.
That's what gets lost in the Jameis Winston performance the other day. 5 touchdowns, yes. Only 148 yards. Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us via the Goodyear hotline. Has Aaron Rodgers thrown in the towel? A rough question, maybe. Fair question? We're not too far off from it. That in 1 minute. First, Josh in Kentucky is up first today on ESPN Radio on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Josh, what's going on?
Hey, man. Thanks for having me on. This is something I've been thinking about for quite a while. I'm curious about your thoughts about Lamar Jackson. I swear it's hard for me to watch the Ravens play anymore just because I'm so terrified with how much he runs. I know he didn't run quite as much as he has been, but I don't want to see him be another RG3 situation. He's an electrifying player. He's all over the field. He's killing it, but I'm just so terrified he's going to have one of these injuries that, you know, ruins his career, and all of a sudden we're out another RG3, another Lamar Jackson. What are your thoughts on that?
I understand your fears. They are well within reason. I would say this. Lamar Jackson is getting better at not taking as many hits. Now, he is a much different player than Russell Wilson in terms of the dynamic factor. He's got more of it in his run game ability. But there is nobody, no quarterback I have ever seen that does a better job of making plays with his legs and not taking his hits like Russell Wilson does. He does a fantastic job of getting down into slides. And I think that's got to be a big issue here for Jackson moving forward, or a big point of concentration. And it will be. It will be. But, you know, RG3, that was an exceptionally quick flameout. Exceptionally quick. It was 2 years and done. I don't fear for that yet with Lamar Jackson's athletic ability. And the bigger issue is this. He can simply outrun most. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Has Aaron Rodgers packed it in? After week one, we're asking this question, and it's a fair question. The fact that it's a fair question is more absurd, to be honest. But yes, while the Packers, as we just heard before, got the ball absolutely jammed down their throats, how can you throw up a performance like that if you're Aaron Rodgers? You just can't. And I said this yesterday, and I was thinking about it more last night. Put a little more energy into being annoyed about losing the game and getting embarrassed than all of the ways that you've been done wrong by the Packers the last year and a half, 2 years. Here's Aaron Rodgers yesterday, his reaction to the loss when he appeared on the Pat McAfee show.
It might be a freak out outside of the facility. I think it's just it's a good learning lesson for us. You know, we can't play like that. We can't start a game like that. I feel like I said after the game, our energy level was a little bit low before the game. You know, we got to do a better job responding to adversity. So, look, there's not much to say. We got our asses beat, you know, by 35 points. We're all frustrated about it, but you just move on. We got 16 more to go. You know, we can't dwell on this one and let it impact this next week. We got NFC North opponent. We got a Monday Night Football game.
Look, this is a guy who is never going to be outwardly angry or outwardly fired up or anything like that. That's not what he's about. But when the energy level is down, doesn't that go on the guy who's been the consistent leader of the football team? Like, isn't that something that early in the game you sense and you're doing your best to try to correct that? You are a captain, for Pete's sake. I mean, I understand that's mostly ceremonial, but is it? Is it really? Aren't you supposed to do something? How about Jermichael Finley? Ooh, he went at Aaron Rodgers and the Packers this morning with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. You listen to this, and you be the judge.
I just don't see a work ethic in Aaron Rodgers that I have in previous years. He's a quarterback that doesn't never take blame for himself. He's that guy, if I throw the ball to the receiver, he's got to catch it wherever it's at. He's not a guy, if you go into the film room and he made a bad pass, he's not that guy that's going to raise his hand and say, oh, that's my bad. He's going to make sure that the coaches know that that's all on you.
Look, there may be beef there that I don't know about, and it sounds like there could be when you hear something like that. But when you've been in the room with him, and you understand what his demeanor is about, and you want people to make plays, and you get frustrated when they drop the ball, when you have a team loss like that, own it like a team. And to me, that was a very ho-hum reaction to a 35-point loss. It's one thing to lose in week one. It's another thing to come out in week one of the season after all of the drama that you caused, that you put out in front and made teammates answer questions about during OTAs when you weren't there. It's all of that. And yet somehow, it's just, we got 16 more to go. Be angry, dude. Just fake it. Be angry. Look like you care. It's his demeanor. But just a little more caring in there might be nice. It does, and if you're Aaron and you're annoyed that these kind of questions come up. How does it come up? It comes up because you went through everything that you did this offseason that you put out there yourself. So if you're annoyed that the questions come up after week one about whether or not the team has packed it in, look in the mirror. Why are we asking that question? If this had not been an outward drama throughout the offseason, we wouldn't even be talking about this. You created this, Aaron Rodgers. You created this. Chris Carlin, ESPN Radio, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Is Aaron Rodgers packing it in? Is he already mentally moving on from the Green Bay Packers? Because he does not look like he is 110% in, as he told us in that news conference at the beginning of the year, at the beginning of training camp. If there's a game someone's betting on it, you know this. Stream season two of Better Days, the Mike Greenberg-hosted series that brings the true stories of unforgettable gambling adventures to life. All episodes now streaming only on ESPN+. Next, we get to the important question. Linguini or double cheeseburger? Maybe the answer's yes. Straight Talk Wireless has rolled out 5G coverage nationwide, and you can get a Samsung Galaxy A32 for 5G for only $299, no contract. All on America's best networks. Straight Talk Wireless. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. Say What is next on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
This is ESPN Radio.
House is our little rage. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. It's Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Don't forget to say, play ESPN Radio on your smart speaker, and bingo, we're right there. Bingo. Oh-hoo. It's about that time. A little say what time. I will not do it again. Maybe once a show when we do it, but I will not do it more than once. It is time for Say What with Raj Gropes. Raj.
Yeah, that's right. Say What. You tickled us with it last segment, so that's fine. We'll take one a show. Hey, I know you love birthdays. Prince Harry turns 37 today.
Yes.
Are you into the royal family? Is that your thing? Did you watch?
I watched that whole Oprah interview sit down thing. You know, I'm not a Royals guy, really. I'm not getting up early on a Saturday morning if there is a wedding, like there has been many times before, and we make a big deal of it. My sister was over there when Fergie got married, but no. Other than that, no. Good luck in Vancouver. Godspeed. Love you. Good luck. Bring back suits, Meghan Markle. Bring back suits.
Hey, here's one Bubba will be excited about. Jake DeGrom completed some light bullpen work for the first time since he was shut down in July, and he's on track to potentially take the bump late this season.
Nice.
Are you on board with Jake being on the mound?
Bubba, why don't you go first? Since you regrettably watched the Mets last night over watching the 86 Mets documentary on 30 for 30, I should say.
Yeah, that was not a good decision on my part. I mean, at this point, it's not looking like we're going to be in the playoffs, so.
Just came to that, huh?
Yeah, it dawned on me, I think, last night in the 11th inning. It finally dawned on me. I think I want him to come back no matter what, though, because we got to get over whatever's going on with his injury. So I want him back out. I want him back out there.
It may make you feel a little bit better going into the offseason. I've heard this, too. Michael Kay said this in New York. If it does turn into a bigger problem, why not find out now and let him go out there? And if he actually does have a major problem in his arm, you know, he goes into the offseason and it'll get 6 months out of the way if you do have to get Tommy John again or something like that. Because remember, Buster has talked about this a lot. 10-11 years removed now from Tommy John surgery, and that normally lasts about 7. So keep an eye on that. Maybe a good time to get it out of the way if there is a problem, and if there isn't, then you're going to feel better.
All right. Hey, check out this from James Franklin. We were talking about this off the air in the USC job, but Listen, it's not a no, but James Franklin on taking a USC job. I can't stand by any form of distraction, Franklin said. I'll discuss this today with the Leadership Council so that we can make sure that all of our energy is on our preparation for Auburn. That's how we'll handle it. What do you make of that answer?
It's a James Franklin answer when these kind of questions come up with him getting rumored for other jobs. It's not surprised. I mean, I'm not surprising. He's a good head coach, and he would seemingly be a good fit for USC. I think it's more likely that they land either Matt Campbell or, you know, and it's just escaping my mind right now. We were talking about this yesterday. One of the other younger guys that is out there, Luke Fickell from Cincinnati, Matt Campbell or Luke Fickell, thinking about one of those two guys. But Franklin, I would not be shocked if he's their number one choice.
Okay. Yeah, interesting. We'll wait and see what happened there. And finally, hey, it's National Linguine Day, National Double Cheeseburger Day. They're both on the menu, Chris. Which one you ordering?
First of all, let's honor the person that decided we're going to make not just a National Cheeseburger Day. No. We're going to make a National Double Cheeseburger Day because that's the way it should be. You an In-N-Out guy?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Best out here, in my opinion.
Well, double-double, I let you see. This is what I'm talking about. The answer would be double cheeseburger, but not by much, because I am a huge, literally and figuratively, pasta guy. I would not eat linguine for the longest time when I was a kid because the fact that it was flat freaked me out. I didn't like that.
Yeah,
and
And
the truth is, the only thing my mother could cook was spaghetti and meatballs. Everything else was atrocious. She was terrible, as it turns out. I didn't know turkey wasn't supposed to be dry until I was 28 years old. So
I don't think you turned down the other meals, Chris.
No, I didn't. I didn't say I didn't eat it. I just didn't know it wasn't supposed to be dry. Listen, that's all I could do. Say What? Brought to you by My Computer Career Training for a Better Life. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. There is an awful lot on the line in week two. How could that possibly be? We will tell you how next on ESPN Radio.